Colossians chapter 4. Now tonight we'll be looking at verses 10 to the end of the chapter. And then next week I have a plan just to do an overview of the whole book. And we'll just hit the high points in the book as a review of what we... And then, of course, the next week following, we won't have a Wednesday night service. And then due to the conference. And then we'll start a new book in August. In August. So, let's start in verse 7 of chapter 4, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. All my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. In Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers into the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, in Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. And then it's written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. Let's review verses 7 to 9, which we looked at last week. Let's read them again. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So we considered last week, as we looked at these scriptures, we considered last week that Tychicus was a beloved brother. He's a beloved brother. And we looked at how we are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Christ. That's the only way God accepts us, is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says here, though, he's beloved, which is Christ, but we also know that he's beloved by the church too. They love him. They love him. Paul loves him. So God's people love each other. Love each other. And we also consider that the scriptures declare here that he is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to what God called him to. What was he called to? To be a minister of the gospel. To preach Christ and him crucified. And those God calls, he equips. No preacher volunteers. You can talk to any grace preacher and we'll tell you, we never volunteered. God called us. He called us to be preachers. And then he equips the preacher. And he molds him, and God himself molds the preacher and makes him who he wants him to be. It's incredible. It's a work of God. And the preacher's desire is that Christ would have all the preeminence. All of it. He gets it all. That's why we keep saying, Lord, we want you to get all the glory and the honor and the praise. It all goes to him. It all goes to him. He gets all the preeminence in all things that are done right here. Whether it be preaching, whether it be singing, or whether it be just being amongst God's people, right? He is the one who gets the preeminence. Him. Less of us. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase, and I must decrease. Right? That's how it is. And God's preachers also look at other preachers and all believers as fellow servants in Christ. You all are my fellow servants in Christ. We're fellows in the ship, like one grace preacher said. Fellows in the ship. Now, Paul sent Tychicus to be a comfort, the scripture says. To be a comfort to the Colossians. And think of the hornet's nest he's going into. Right? What might look like a hornet's nest? False teachers are there. They're trying to convince the Colossian believers of something out that's false. They're trying to lead them away. And there goes Tychicus. Oh my. My, oh my. There he goes. As I said, false teachers, they're swaying some of the Colossians. Right? And here comes God's faithful preacher. And what does he do? He preaches Christ. He preaches Christ. Because how are you all going to be comforted? Not just by my words, right? By the word of God. By the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you're comforted. Because that's how I'm comforted as a believer too. And hearing the gospel, preached and proclaimed. Called Gary Shepherd today. Had a talk with him for about an hour. I said, brother, thank you so much. That was a wonderful talk. Wonderful talk. And he says, thank you. It was wonderful for me too. And we just talked about Christ. We talked about how God's people have a humble spirit. Humble. They're bought low. They're bought low. And they're showing what they are. And they're showing who he is. Think of this. This is what Gary Bonner, I love. He says, Wayne, when we get a glimpse of who we are in his sight, it just brings us down. And it exalts him. Because we say, look at our God. He's magnificent. He's magnificent. So here's Tychicus coming in, and he's preaching Christ. And he preaches the gospel no matter what opposition comes his way. No matter who opposes him. No matter if it's from without and no matter if it's from within. He is proclaiming Christ and him crucified. And that's what the gospel preacher does. He preaches Christ. No matter where the opposition comes from. And God's people need to pray for preachers. Need to lift them up. Need to lift them up. And I know you all do here and I'm very thankful. Very thankful. Because without the grace of God having regenerated us, without the Holy Spirit teaching us and strengthening us, we as preachers and we as believers could do nothing. Right? Because what's the words of our master? Now let us just think on that. What's the words of our master? Because we think sometimes we can do things, right? What's the words of our master? Without me, you can do nothing. That's humbling. That puts us low in the dust, doesn't it? But it exalts him. It exalts him to the throne. Where he already is, and that's his rightful place. He's exalted. So Tychicus would come in and just, he'd preach Christ. He'd preach Christ lifted up high, and he'd preach man into the dirt. Right? Preaching Christ and him crucified. My. And how do God's preachers, again, comfort the hearts of believers? By preaching Christ and him alone. He is the only one who can comfort our eternal souls. Lastly, we considered verse 9, which speaks of Onesimus. And he's also called a faithful and beloved brother. And this is the slave of Philemon, who had run from him. Some commentators think he stole something and then he fled to Rome. But it was God's providence at work. Was God's providence at work. And no man can stop his providence. It will accomplish whatever he decrees. And God in his providence converted Onesimus under the preaching of the gospel by Paul in Rome. We see the hand of providence at work. The one who was unfaithful, the one who fled, is now faithful. He's called faithful here. The one who was once despised is now beloved. He's beloved. He's a beloved brother. And in that text, beloved, marvel at the transforming grace of God. The only reason he's born again, the only reason he's faithful now, the only reason he's a beloved brother now is because of the transforming grace of God in Christ. He's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. He's regenerated. He's a new creature in Christ. And he loves Christ. And he's a faithful servant of his. And I imagine he was a great comfort to Paul. A great comfort to Paul. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These are my only fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. So he mentions here Aristarchus, Marcus, and Justice. In the preceding verses, the two Paul sent, Tychicus and Onesimus, he sent them on a mission, didn't he? He sent them on a mission. But here, he sends greetings from three of those who remained with him. Three dear, faithful brethren. Now, Aristarchus is a man from Macedonia. He's a Thessalonian. He was, at the time of this writing, a fellow prisoner with Paul. In other words, he'd been thrown in prison because of preaching Christ, because of his faith in Christ. And here we see Aristarchus sends his greetings to the Colossian saints. He sends his greetings to the Colossian saints, which seems to indicate that he may have been acquainted with them. He may knew some of them because Aristarchus accompanied Paul on various journeys. So he may have known some of these believers at Colossae. Then we see Marcus in verse 10 is John Mark, the very one who wrote the book, the Gospel according to St. Mark. And he was the son of Barnabas' sister. He's a nephew to Barnabas. Barnabas was one of Paul's traveling companions, and we know that Barnabas and Paul had a falling out over Marcus. And they went their separate ways. It's always a sad thing to see brethren divide. It's horrible. It's sad. It's sad. It's sad to see them divide over anything. But now, John Mark, at a later date, has proved himself to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his relationship with Paul is restored, as we see here. It's restored. And Paul said, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. One commentator said he is probably referring to some letters maybe of commendation that had been sent either by Paul or Barnabas and may not have reached there at the time of the writing of the epistle. That's speculation, and that's what we're saying, it's speculation. But obviously something had been said about him and he had been commended to the Colossian believers. And then we see the words, receive him. Paul writes God's people that they are to receive the preachers whom God in his providence sends to him. Look at verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who have the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Now, we're not sure who Jesus or Joshua, called Justice here in verse 11, we're not sure who he was, but he may have been the same man that's mentioned over in Acts 18. I'll read the scripture. If you want to turn there, you can. But I'll read the scripture in Acts 18, verse 7, whose house had joined hard to the synagogue. Scripture declares this in Acts 18, 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God and in whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So it may have been him. It may have been him. Whoever Paul was, whoever he was, Paul calls him and Aristarchus and Marcus my fellow workers. My fellow workers, he calls them. And he had kind words to say about them. Look, he says, which have been a comfort unto me. Which have been a comfort unto me. Well, beloved, let us as God's people seek to be a comfort to one another. Let us seek to be a comfort to one another. Not be grievous to one another. That under the temptations of Satan and tyranny of persecutors abroad or at home, fellow believers might be discouraged. We are to be a comfort to one another. And Paul was comforted by his fellow brethren. He was comforted by them. We are to esteem others always better than ourselves, aren't we? Always. Esteem others better than yourself. My, be a comfort. Be a comfort. And note a little nugget here. These first three men mentioned there, they're all of the circumcision. They're all of the circumcision. Look at verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. They were all Jewish. But the next three mentioned are all Gentiles. This shows us the unity in the church of Jew and Gentile in Christ. In Christ. And in Him alone. Look at verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God, in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Now Epaphras, if you turn over to chapter 1, Epaphras was one of them, the scripture declares here in Colossians 4:12. He's a native of Colossus, and he's a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And he prayed often, the scripture says here. It says he labored fervently for you. We're to be prayerful for one another. Prayerful for one another. Right? Henry Mahan said this, if you have a problem with someone, pray for them. Pray for them. Lift them up to the throne of grace. You know what? It works. Lift it might not necessarily fix the situation with that person, but it will bring you peace. Pray for them. And sincerely pray for them. Lift them up. Pray for them. Epaphras is praying for the Colossian believers. He's praying for them. He prayed for those at Colossus, because why? Because his heart was knit together with them, beloved. Our hearts are knit together here, beloved. God has providentially brought every one of us here. Now we may have different personalities, but we've been brought here by God's providence, and our hearts are knit together in Christ. In Christ. And here's Epaphras. He's a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he prayed often for those at Colossus. And then look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. He's spoken of here. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. See, the word of God comes on to his people. As it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. As it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God and truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So he came to Rome and declared to Paul their love in the Spirit. Their love that they had for one another. And look at what verse 7 says. He's a faithful, he's a fellow servant, and he's a faithful minister of Christ. Now he's one of whom Christ has made a minister. God's made him a preacher. Man never made him that. Man doesn't make any preacher. No. No, he was sent forth, qualified by God Himself. And he was made successful by Christ in His service. He's a faithful brethren. And he preached none but Christ. Paul wouldn't say he was a faithful brother unless he preached Christ and Him crucified. Right? All God's preachers are faithful to declare Christ and Him crucified. And again, he's called by God, not by man. And he was genuinely and deeply concerned for God's saints at Colossae. And we see that he labored fervently for them in prayer, that they might stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Note it says that in the latter part of verse 12, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That is, that they might have a perfect knowledge of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He established for His people. And that they might have a knowledge of their being justified fully in God's sight through His perfect redeeming work. And that they might be only resting in Christ and Him alone as their blessed surety, as all-sufficient Savior. And this is the opposite of what the false teacher has been telling them, right? And the gospel preacher says, no, no, beloved. You are complete in Christ. You are complete in Him. Isn't that wonderful? We're not complete in ourselves, are we? People can find lots of faults in us, can't they? Even as saved people, can't they? But I'm complete in Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And if you're a believer, you are too. Isn't that wonderful? Just makes your heart soar. Just makes it soar. My goodness. My goodness. So he's asked, he sends a greeting. He sends a greeting. He saluted them. He saluted them. He prayed for the Colossian believers and for the saints, it says, and for the saints in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Beloved, what does this show us? This shows us that he had a burden for God's people. He had a burden, didn't he? His heart was heavy for the Lord's people. And I imagine being from Colossae and hearing about these false teachers coming in probably troubled him. He probably wanted to get back as soon as he could to preach the gospel again, right? But he knew that they were knit together in love. And then he knows now that Paul's sending two other faithful preachers. That warms his heart. That warms his heart. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So not only was Luke the beloved physician, he was one of Paul's traveling companions. And he was instrumental in penning the gospel according to St. Luke. We know the Holy Spirit was the author, but he had him pen it. And the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke accompanied Paul when he was taken to Rome, as in the book of Acts reveals. And we see here he's still with him when this epistle is written. He's still with him. And so he asked Paul to give the Colossian saints a greeting. Greet the brethren. Greet them. Do you know each time I talk to grace preachers, you know what they tell me? Greet the brethren. Drew Dietz says, greet the flock. Greet the Lord's flock there. Gary Shepherd today. Greet the brethren. We love and care for each other. My. Greet the saints or greet the flock of God. God's preachers love God's people. And God's people love God's preachers. And note it says this too. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now Demas here, according to John Gill, Demas, turn if you would to 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas here, John Gill believes is the same Demas who forsook Paul because he loved this present world. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And note 2 Timothy was written after Colossians, this book to the Colossians. So the book to the Colossians was written before 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He forsook him. He forsook the gospel. Hendrickson comments this, with that tragic statement, Demas will disappear from biblical history. Demas hath forsaken me. Gone. Tragic. Absolutely tragic. But there are some who profess who aren't really saved. There is. And those, God's people will be kept. He keeps his people. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and in Nymphis and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church in the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now some of God's saints were members of a church in Laodicea, and some were meeting in the home of Nymphis. And note that Paul makes no distinction between the saints who are meeting in a local church or those who are meeting in the house of Nymphis. And he sends his salutations to all. And we know from how these preachers were that they were going around preaching wherever they could, proclaiming the gospel. Proclaiming the gospel. And Paul gives clear instructions here that this epistle is to be read to the Colossian saints and to the saints in Laodicea. Let us ponder this. Let us ponder this, beloved. And I hope this will be a rich blessing to us. And to the saints in every generation, to know that our Lord has providentially arranged for this epistle to be read by us and to be heard by us. Isn't that amazing? All in His will. He providentially. Now this epistle was read by the Colossian saints and to the saints at Laodicea. And here we are reading it now. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. He continues in verse 17 to send a greeting to another faithful brother in the ministry at Colossus and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord and that thou fulfill it. Note that Paul calls Archippus a fellow soldier in Philemon. If you turn over to Philemon, he calls Archippus a fellow soldier. A fellow soldier. Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Well, he's a fellow soldier. He's a faithful minister and a fellow soldier of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the time of this writing, he was one of the ministers in the church at Colossae. And Paul admonished him to take heed to the ministry he had received from the Lord Jesus Christ and to fulfill it. And God's preachers fulfill the ministry our Lord has calls us to by consistently preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and by faithfully administering the ordinances that our Lord instituted. And God's preachers are set for the defense of the gospel. And they will defend the gospel, the free grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and the preaching of the gospel. They'll defend it from opposition within and without. Look at verse 18. The salutation by the hand of Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. One commentator said it is said that because of his poor eyesight, Paul usually dictated his words to someone else who wrote for him. But he adds a salutation here, his own greeting by his own handwriting to this epistle. And there's a twofold reason for this. It would not only add a personal touch to his epistle, but it would also keep others from counterfeiting it. Counterfeiting letters from him. And then the beloved apostle writes this. Remember my bonds. Now Paul wasn't seeking sympathy. He knew he was in bonds by the providence of God. And we know he counted it all joy that he was counted worthy to suffer for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And Paul is asking them to remember him, to pray for him, to lift him up to our Savior, just as we do when we remember preachers that we know. When we hear of a preacher or when we hear of a saint going through various things, and as the Lord lays them on our hearts, what do? We pray for them. We remember them, don't we? We lift them up. So Paul was encouraging the saints to continue in the faith, even if they suffered painful persecution for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he was doing well in bonds. And one grace preacher put it this way. Paul said, I'm one of the Lord's apostles, but that doesn't exempt me from suffering. And this is just his own words that he wrote. Doesn't exempt me from suffering for Christ. For his glory. So Paul writes, remember my bonds. Be ready, if the Lord should require it, to lay down your life for his glory. Paul closes with these five words. Grace be with you. Amen. Beloved, God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient to meet our every need and to meet our every situation. And our God is the God of all grace. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior and our Redeemer. He's our Lord. And He sits upon the throne right now, high and mighty, ruling and reigning, saving whom He will, drawing in His elect, bringing them to Him. Oh, mine. One day soon we'll see Him. Our life's like a vapor. Just like a vapor. And He sits on His throne of grace and gives more grace as it's needed. More grace as it's needed. Grace be with you. Good words, beloved. Good words to give those who are... Think of this. He says, grace be with you. And those are good words to give some folks, some brethren who you're saying goodbye to. Right? Isn't that wonderful? Grace be. Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne with thankful hearts. Thankful for the mercy and the grace which You've given us. And Lord, we thank You for the study we had in this book. It's a wonderful book about the all-sufficiency and about the supremacy of You, Lord Jesus, the One who is preached and proclaimed in all Your churches, Lord, the One who we lift up high and mighty. It's You, Lord. We seek to exalt You. We seek to glorify You. Less of us and more of You, we pray. And we love you and praise you for your goodness and mercy and grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen.